The corner. The corner. The corner. Hey, welcome. Come on into Cousin Ed's Corner. This podcast where you'll find real, authentic conversation. Organic conversation. Unscripted, unfiltered conversation. Like you're home with your cousin. It's all about life. It's about finance. It's about spirituality. It's about love and everything in between. I'm your host, Cousin Ed. I'm excited to bring you along on this journey. So sit back and listen in as we dive into a wide range of topics. I have some diverse guests coming on with an array of thoughts and opinions. My goal is to create a space all for us, to connect and communicate. It's not really about me. It's about the community as a whole. Let's enjoy it. Let's sit back. Let's think about our past. Let's move into our future. It's about
the corner, the corner, the corner.
So no matter how you cut it or slice it, we're all here together. I'm just here to give you peace of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my mentals. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of Cousin Ed's Corner.
The corner, the corner, the corner.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What's going on, fam? We are back. We are back, with another one. Yes, indeed. It's Cousin Ed's Corner. And I'm honored today to have another queen on, another sister on. This is when my sister wins, we all win. And today, once again, we are winning. I'll say it again, say it forever. The internet is a gift and a curse. And today we've been gifted. But one of the queens that I found, that I follow, that I was just, tried and said, let me see if I can have her on the show, have her come visit Cousin Ed's Corner. And Queen Gwen Jameer, let me make sure I had the last name, Queen Gwen Jameer, is honoring me, us today, coming on Cousin Ed's Corner. Queen, welcome to Cousin Ed's Corner.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am so honored. Like I said, followed you for a while, and I was just seeing some of your content that came out, and you was dropping jewels, helping us in the community, just and better ourselves, especially financially. That's what is one of the key things that I found about algorithms on the internet, some of the financial tips you were given. And then I went down a little further and I found the beauty and skin and all of the other stuff. I was like, oh my goodness, she is amazing. So I wanted to make sure I had you on just to introduce you to, listen, I know everyone already knows, I just want to introduce you to Cousin Ed's Corner and make you part of the family. So once again, welcome to Cousin Ed's Corner, and thank you for coming. Please, I always ask this question, tell us a little bit about yourself. I don't want to hear pamper story, but tell us about where you came from, how you grew up, and what got you to the point you're at right now.
Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm thrilled that you reached out. Okay, so no surface level intros, right? let's see. I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I have been a resident of the Detroit area for about 15 years. I'm trying to think. I'm a mom. Career-wise, though, I actually started my career in marketing. I was recruited by Ford Motor Company, which is how I ended up in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I was recruited by them out of grad school. And this was back in like 2008-ish, 2006, 2007, 2008. And I was at the forefront of brands using social media for marketing purposes. And it sounds so wild and crazy that only 15 years ago, social media was pretty much a peer-to-peer platform. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to have a .edu in order to be on Facebook at the time. And Facebook had just allowed brands to start using social media. And so I was lucky enough to be at the beginnings of that. And it really allowed me to learn how to utilize social media to personalize it in a way that connected with communities and allowed consumers to, you know, gravitate towards a brand or gravitate even towards an individual that had not been done before by a huge Fortune 10 company like Ford. And so when I ventured out on my own to start my own company, that was definitely something that I started doing. And it's definitely stuff that I use today. Some of the same tactics that we were using back 15 years ago at Ford. And that has allowed me to be able to create a brand, like you mentioned, a beauty brand that has weathered, you know, economic changes, has weathered COVID, has really built a tribe of people. But then also utilize that same sort of, you know, I guess, tactic or strategy in order to create my own personal brand more recently that focuses, like you said, more on money and entrepreneurship.
Now, one thing you said that got me geeked out was working for the Fortune 100 company, not even 500, Fortune 100 company, and being able to have some of those skills and technology behind you and the marketing. One thing for myself, I worked for AT&T 16 plus, that's a long time, but many years. And some of the training that they gave me allows me to do a lot of things I do today. And being able to have some of that big data, a lot of people don't know about big data, and being having that towards marketing definitely helps with everything you're doing. So bringing that to today's forefront, you're able to use that in every aspect of what you're doing. How did it help you in beginning starting your business?
Well, when I started my business, I actually was broke. And I was going through a divorce. I had my son at the time was 2 years old. He's 13 now. So it's a while ago, but I was in the midst of the divorce and I was, the company went through a restructuring. And so we got a new CEO. When that happened, I was a casualty of that change. And so I lost my job 30 days before my divorce was final. And so I wasn't intending to make my hobby, which was creating hair care products and skincare products at my house. I wasn't intending at that time to turn that into a full-time job. But I had to because, again, I needed to make money to feed my child and pay my mortgage and things like that. And so when that happened, the skills that I learned and had to hone and really lead on when I was at Ford came in so handy when I started my own company because, again, I had no money. I had no budget. And even though at Ford we had a huge budget and, like you said, big data and all that stuff, social media was, and for the most part, is still a free platform unless you're running ads. And so even though we had technically an unlimited budget, which we could start, we were actually the first Fortune 10 company or Fortune 100 company to utilize influencers. They weren't even called influencers at that time. So we were using influencers, right? So outside of that, social media is a free platform. And so because I was able to learn how to personalize a brand to the consumer to make them feel, to really build up that like, know, and trust factor with the consumer through social media, even though there's the wall of the computer screen in between us, they really start to feel like they knew me as a person. Like they knew Gwen, they knew some of my personal information within reason. You know, I wasn't telling them all my business, but you know, some things they knew. They knew my son. They, you know, he was a part of things that I would do. And so it would be, allowed them to become to know me as an individual. And I really realized very quickly that people don't buy from brands, they buy from people, right? Mm-hmm. So people buy from people that they like, know, and trust. And so it was like, well, if you can become someone that they like, that they know, and that they trust, then they're going to pretty much buy anything from you because you're that person, you're that girl, you're that guy. And so, yeah, so for that experience there definitely came in 100% handy because I had no budgets. And so all I had was social media and maybe an email list. And of course, as the company grew, you know, we started making money and I was able to use that for stuff. But in the beginning, there was no money to spend on anything.
But from what I can tell, you have had and always will have a great product. So that's one thing that's a foundation as well.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Well, thank you. But you definitely have to have a great product, right? Because people are going to, you know, you can't sell no crap, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say if my name is going to be on it, it's got to be top quality. It's got to be top notch. It can't look like no thing that's been created in a bedroom. You know, it needs to look like something. And so that's another part of the like, know, and trust factor, right? So it's like at this point in my with my business, my main core customer group who has been rocking with me for, you know, at this point over 11 years now, if I, or if we create a new product, they're in line already to buy it sight unseen because they know that they can trust that it's going to be high quality. They can trust it's going to be top notch. They know if it's not right, it's not coming out under the Naturalicious brand or, you know, with Gwen's name on it. So, you know, all that contributes to it. So, yeah.
So you just mentioned your company, Naturalicious. Can you tell us more about the company?
Yeah. So Naturalicious is a plant-based hair care and skincare business that I started 11 years ago as of the time of this recording. And I feel very honored and fortunate that I'm able to say that I've been in business for myself for over a decade, which feels crazy because I really don't feel like I'm that old.
But you said a 13-year-old. I was like, where you got a 13-year-old at?
But yeah, it's been 11 years since I worked in at a job, you know, and so, you know, most businesses fail within the first year, some within the first 2 or 3 years, and we've been around for over a decade now. Had a lot of press, won a lot of awards. Actually, I don't know if you knew this, but back in 2015, I became the first African-American woman to own a patent on a natural hair care product. So we got a lot of press around that.
I did see a lot of your interviews, a lot of press. I did it on your social media and everything else. So I didn't know what it was around. I didn't know it was around that. But you think about all these years that we as African Americans have been around, and you're the first. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. You definitely have to be resilient. You definitely have to be someone who I feel like is a risk taker, but more than just a risk taker. You know, I feel like true entrepreneurs, those of us who really, really do it, we have a semi-unreasonable amount of risk that we're willing to take. You know, I remember in the very beginning stages of my business when I had no money and I was, you know, single mom in it, I remember having to choose between paying my car note at the time and buying more raw materials to make more product. And of course I chose the raw materials.
Calculated risk.
Of course I chose the raw materials. But most people would have chosen, you know, to pay the car note. But, you know, no, in my logic, you know, it was like, no, you buy the raw materials and then you use the proceeds from that to pay the car note. So yeah, it's been good. It's allowed me to actually parlayed that business into other businesses. And I've had I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but I've had the pleasure or experience at least of opening multiple businesses because of that. But then one of those businesses actually failed. And I think that's something that that people don't talk about enough. You know, we always get excited when somebody opens a new business, but when someone closes a business, there's a lot that comes with that. And they close very quietly because it's almost like they're embarrassed that it didn't work out. And I just think there's not enough conversation around when businesses don't work out and the aftermath that comes with that.
So can we stay right there for a second since you enlighten us on it? Talk about closing the business. How was that a feel? How did that feel? And I know some people talk about it as a grief. Some people talk about it as a divorce. People talk about it as a loss and everything else. So how did that come about and how does it feel and how'd you recover from it?
Yeah, so I opened a hair salon actually in 2022 and I closed in 2023. And so for me, when I opened the business, it felt like I was birthing a baby. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a son, a human son, and then I always said like my daughter was my salon. That was the first business I had that had like it was a brick and mortar business, obviously. But it wasn't just a salon, it was a spa. It was 4,500 square feet. It was huge. Mm-hmm. We had 31 employees. It was a lot. It was beautiful inside. I mean, when our grand opening, we had 215 people who came through the grand opening. Just on grand opening day. And so we did not close because we didn't have enough sales. And I think that's when people close businesses, a lot of times it's like, oh, you didn't have enough sales. No. We had plenty of sales. And in fact, if you Googled us right now, you would see over 300 five-star reviews on Google. So that wasn't the problem. The problem was staffing. And that's part of, like I said, what people don't talk about. Like there's so many other reasons why businesses close that just because they're not sustainable, that people don't think about. I have a friend who closed her business because she was having challenges with her business partner. And so she had to close it because the business partner was basically trying to exploit her. And it was cheaper for her to just exit out the business and try to pay this business off, pay the business partner off. And so for me, it was staffing issues. It was like, I just did not realize at the time how transient a folks who work in that industry are sometimes. You know, a lot of times they're used to working for themselves. Oftentimes they're not really used to having to be within a structure, right? Like in a corporate setting. Yeah. And so, you know, and they're super talented people. But a lot of times they're used to being in a suite or being in their basement or being at their house or whatever. You know, they do whatever they want. We started having people who would just not come in on Saturdays. Like, yeah, I'm just not coming in today. Like, what do you mean? You got a whole book of people. Like, oh, well, just give it to him. Like, he got a whole book himself. He can't take your clients too, you know? And now we have clients who are just sitting around waiting for a free stylist, you know, that sort of thing. Or we will have one woman, she was such a great stylist, but she was going through a divorce and her husband came up to the spot and started trying to start some stuff. And I'm like, we got clients here. Like, this is Yeah, and we just kept having to, my manager at the salon, she kept having to fire people because every time we would hire two people, we would have to fire three. And it was just like, this is not working, you know? And after a while, the math started not mathing and I had to close it. So for me, it felt like the death of my child because I had put so much energy, time and money into this. And it was like, the best way I can describe it is the death of a child. And I would never in a million years like assume that the death of a business is equates to losing a human child, but that's the best way I can describe it or illustrate it. And the thing is, like, when the business closes, you have all these bills that are from the business. You still got, you know, final payroll, you got final rent, final mortgage, whatever it is, you know, final utilities. And if you had a loan, you know, got to pay all that stuff back.
And all that material, all the equipment. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, you're still getting bills from the hospital for your now dead baby, right? And it's just like, oh my God, it's sucks. And everywhere you go, people know you started a new business or you had this quote unquote new child. And they're like, oh, how's the business going? I got to pull up. And you're like, yeah, it's not there anymore. Now you got to talk about it, you know? And so it's a lot when a business closes. It's very emotional.
One of our sponsors just recently announced that they're closing one of their locations, and I was thinking about that as you were saying it and how it feels to have to do something like that. And so one of the hardest things, and knowing that maybe some people that was being supported by you, right? Maybe your manager was being supported by you. So hopefully that they were able to find something, or hopefully they was able to transition into one of your other businesses, things like that. So definitely, it's not a failure. It's if you don't step out on it and try it, you didn't fail. And just by having the opportunity, you learned from the opportunity and was able to grow, and you was able to give other people opportunities during that time that they wouldn't have had. So definitely was a blessing. So thank you for doing that. Now I want to jump into some of the other stuff that you have going on now. So I see that you you give business advice. So you've been doing it 11 years and now you're able to give that back. Are you doing it through classes? You're doing it through, I saw a free, a book that you're, actually giving out, a journal. I think it's a journal, a book.
It's a book. So it's a 56 page, book that I wrote. It's called the Small Business Survival Guide. And, you know, 2023 was really, really hard for a lot of businesses. Like, so many businesses closed. And again, like I mentioned, they closed quietly. And some are really on life support right now. And so, having been someone who closed the business, but also had two really successful businesses that are still up and thriving, you know, I've seen both sides of everything. And so for me, it was like, well, let me create a resource to help people be able to, you know, weather this storm that a lot of people are going through right now. And so that's what the resource is. And by the way, if you want to get it, you can go to GwenJamir.com/bizguide and it'll be sent to you for free.
I definitely will put it in the description as well. And I saw that you have business advice. So can somebody reach out to you to get on your calendar?
Yeah. So what I've been doing right now is creating content around business, money, and entrepreneurship for the most part.
Okay.
And it really, honestly, for me was, I feel a calling. So towards the end of last year, I was just like, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I've been running these businesses. I've been doing really well with them. I had this one business that closed, and 2023 was just hard for me. Like, it was hard for a lot of people. And I was just like, okay, what's next? I've been doing this for a decade now. You know, I've been running my business for a long time. What is my purpose? You know, what am I supposed to be doing? And it took me some months to keep praying and, you know, fasting and trying to hear from God. But he told me about gifts versus talents. And I've always known there's a difference between gifts and talents, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, gifts are things that just come to you without you having to, like, work at it. And people are constantly telling you how great you are at it. And you're just like, what? This is, like, so easy, right? Talents are something that may actually not be gifts. So talents might be something that you really have a liking mm-hmm. for, but you really, mm-hmm. sometimes you have to work hard at it, you know, to make it something, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've always known that two of my gifts are teaching and talking. I could talk forever. And I can talk to the cows come home. And but I'm also really, really gifted at teaching. And so it's not unusual for me to take a concept that's relatively complex for some people and then break it down into ways that they just grasp it right away. And I can see the proverbial light bulb go off in their head. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've done that with hair for my hair business. I've done it for my other membership business. And now I started doing it for, you know, entrepreneurship and money. And those are two things that I'm just very, very interested in. And I started making content around it. And it started to really, really hit. Like, I mean, I've had like a lot of posts go viral
That's how I found you.
When I wasn't making that content, there wasn't nothing going viral. So I was like, well, maybe this is what God wants me to do. And so I just started creating more around that. But for me, it's always about providing value. I never, ever, ever want to do something that is just for the money or just to have something to do. Like, I have a need to provide value in people's lives. Like, that fulfills me. I wanted to feel fulfilled, and I wasn't feeling fulfilled for a while. So currently I don't have, well, they can go to my website, which is gwenjamir.com. I do a lot of speaking engagements. I love speaking again, love talking and teaching. I love doing podcasts like I'm doing with you. I love sharing my story. I also love providing insight into things that people aren't really thinking about. You know, so a lot of the content that I create around money is related to, you know, maybe like tax tips or, you know, I just posted one not too long ago about travel, how to get first class flights, you know, kind of cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I posted about, like, you know, how to set your child up to be a millionaire, you know, when they're young, so that, you know, they basically don't have to struggle. You know, let's stop the cycle of, like, having our kids have to struggle, right? So I create content around those things. And the money ones always seem to just really, 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 really do well, because everybody wants to make more money. And then I make entrepreneurship topics as well, because people are starting businesses and I've done it for a decade. So I feel like I have some knowledge that I can impart to keep, to make people's lives a little bit easier.
You definitely are doing it. Like I said, you're on my algorithm. That's what got me to come to you. And I love some of your travel information. I definitely want to have you back to talk about travel, but also about Financial Freedom Friday. So have you on one of our Financial Freedom Fridays. Yeah. Talk about that same topic, about how we can cut the generational curse and help our kids become, maybe not millionaires, but become financially stable. Let's 100%. Get them with an understanding, and then they can build on that.
Yeah. I mean, something I talk about with my son a lot now, he's 13 and he's got 5 years till he goes to college, should he choose to go to college. And we talk now about going to college debt free, you know, like, what's that going to look like? You know, maybe you'll get scholarships, maybe you won't, but let's assume worst case scenario. Let's say you don't get any scholarships and you don't get any grants. How are we going to fund this without going into debt? You know, and so we talk about it now, and, you know, I'm trying to prepare him now early, so we're not talking about this at 17, 18, and he wants to go to some super expensive college. And I'm like, yeah, bro, like, that ain't gonna happen. Exactly. You know? So let's talk about it now so that we can go to college debt free. And even now we talk about credit card debt. We talk about the baby, you know, Dave Ramsey's baby steps. You know, we talk about all those things. And it's just, I think the conversations are not had enough in our community. One, because we just don't know sometimes.
I'm about to say, yeah.
And so part of, you know, the platform that I I have and what I'm trying to do is to enlighten people. Like, hey, it's actually not that hard to be financially comfortable. Let's just say, not even free right yet. Let's not even say free. Let's just say where you don't feel like you're on the struggle bus. Like, it's really not that hard, but it does take discipline. And it takes patience.
I'm about to say that's the biggest thing, discipline. But you have all of the social media and all of the marketing out mm-hmm. here pushing other stuff. So that's a whole nother show.
Yep, for sure.
But like I said, I definitely love to have you back. I appreciate your time. I thank you for being flexible and scheduling this with me. As I tell everybody, go ahead and tell them your information one more time, where they can find you at, how they can follow you. And then I'll tell you a little bit more about the show.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at The Gwen Show. Same name on Facebook, The Gwen Show. My personal website is gwenjamire.com. So that's GwenJimmere.com. And then more specifically, you should follow me on YouTube. So on YouTube, I'm Gwen Jamire, but the name of my show is The Get Money Show with Gwen Jamire.
The Get Money Show with Gwen Jamire. Definitely be sure to follow her. This queen is doing big things, have been doing big things for a long time. Love having you on. Listen, when you come back, the dark is down low, the clear is up top, the red cup is on the counter. Make yourself at home. You're welcome back to Cousin Ed's Corner anytime you'd like to come back. Listen, family, if you want to reach out to her, definitely 762-333-2032. That's 762-333-2032. Leave a voicemail, leave a text message, and I'll definitely share with her. Or you can go to cousinedscorner.com, cross top of the page, hit leave voicemail there, and I'll play the voicemail on the next show. Family, I love y'all. Gwen, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's stay connected. Love to have you back.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Can't wait to do it again.
All right. Peace.
This is Gwen Jamire of the Get Money Show at GwenJamire.com. And when I'm not helping you make a ton of money so you can live the life you want and deserve, I'm listening to Cousin Ed's Corner.
Hey, hey, y'all. Aisha here, founder and CEO of the Sisters in Business Expo, the country's only multi-city small business expo and community created to celebrate and educate entrepreneurial women of color. Be sure to tune in to the next episode of Cousin Ed's Corner. And remember, when my sister wins, we all win.
This episode of Cousin Ed's Corner was brought to you by The Sister Shop. Please be sure to visit them at thesistershop.com. That's thesistashop.com. Thesistershop.com. Thank you for listening to Cousin Ed's Corner.